السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. صلى الله وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ذلك ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. It is during these days that we come together and join hundreds of millions of people in virtually all corners of the globe to remember and to commemorate the great person and sacrifice of Al-Imam Abi Abdullah Al-Husayn alayhi salam. We find that everywhere today the name of Hussein is being raised in every major city of the world. The name of Hussein is being raised. The name of Hussein is being remembered. And we know that as believers, Imam Hussein alayhi salam has a very special place in each and every one of our hearts. A place that is permanent. In fact, the famous hadith tells us, إِنَّ لِقَتْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ حَرَارَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَا تَبْرَدُ أَبَدًا. That in the hearts of each and every believers, each and every believer in his or her heart, there is this constant source of heat and passion for the cause of Imam Hussein. One that never subsides, it's never extinguished. This heat that we have, this passion that we have for Imam Hussein, and that each believer should have for Imam Hussein, is one that is permanent. It remains in our hearts. And this is why the remembrance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam remains and will continue to remain generation after generation. We find that the remembrance of Imam Hussein throughout the centuries has continued through various means. Through one mean is through the remembrance, recalling the events of Ashura, that tragic day, recalling those events, mourning and lamenting over this great tragedy. And we find that this mourning and commemoration of the tragedy of Karbala, the tragedy of Imam Hussein, has continued throughout the centuries. And it's taken different forms in different parts of the world and in different ages. Yet the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the name of Imam Hussein has also been upheld and remembered through the embodiment of the Imam's objectives and his lessons. Not only have we remembered the Imam by weeping, by mourning, by lamenting, but there also have been individuals and groups throughout the centuries that have embodied the mission and the objective and the lessons that are drawn from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And this is why we see various individuals and groups, Muslim and non-Muslim, who have sought inspiration in the case of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They are inspired by the story of Imam Hussein. It's not for them just an emotional story, an emotional tragedy that causes people to weep and people to cry. But they seek inspiration because they realize the objectives of Imam Hussein. They realize why Imam Hussein alayhi salam, what he stood for. They realize this, and so they seek inspiration from this. And we know that Imam Hussein had many objectives, but amongst the most important of his objectives was that he wanted to stand up firmly for morality, for goodness, for righteousness. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his objective was to stand up for truth and justice, very firmly. Resiliently stand up for justice and in the face of injustice and oppression. This is one of the most important objectives of Imam Hussein. This is one of the most important lessons that we can draw from that mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That he stood up for justice. That for Imam Hussein, injustice and oppression would not be tolerated. That he would do everything in his capacity, even if it meant that he would sacrifice his own life and the life of his family members and even the life of his six-month-old child, so that he can stand up firmly for justice. Stand up against injustice, against oppression, against immorality, against evil. Today, we find that the world is riddled with injustice and oppression. When we wake up in the morning, when we read the news, we find that all over the world, there is injustice, there is oppression, there is evil, there is discrimination, there is hatred, there is animosity. When we come to various countries in the world, we come to Syria, for instance, and we find one of the greatest tragedies occurring in Syria now. We find in Yemen one of the greatest catastrophes occurring in Yemen, in Bahrain, in Nigeria, in Pakistan, in various countries in the world, there is injustice, there is oppression. People are being killed, people are living in dire conditions. They're living in poverty. They're living in oppression. We find it all around the world. And we don't have to go far, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters. Even in our country, even in our societies, right here in the United States of America, we find that there is flagrant racial and ethnic injustice and discrimination. Minority groups, African American men, unarmed, are being shot and killed by law enforcement. We see this constantly happening. It's almost a daily event or a weekly event that we hear news of an unarmed African American young man who's being shot and killed by law enforcement. This is just now. We have a history of racial discrimination. This is that which is explicit. There is implicit racial discrimination also within the society that we live in. There is ethnic discrimination. People are discriminated against because of their ethnicity, because of the color of their skin, because of the country of their origin. We find that there is a lot of xenophobia, a lot of fear and hatred of that which is foreign. If this person doesn't look like me, if this person doesn't dress like me, then this person is subject to what? to discrimination. We find this constantly. Those who seem foreign are discriminated against. Just yesterday I was reading in the news of a Sikh man who in Bakersfield, not too far from here, he was having dinner in a restaurant. And he says, I was on the phone, I was speaking to my little cousin, it was his birthday, and I was wishing my little cousin a happy birthday. Suddenly, as I was speaking on the phone, a white man came up to me, and he began to yell at me. He began to threaten me. And then he took his soda, his drink, and he threw it at this man, straight on his face. The man says, I was sitting there, and I was shocked. I forgot all about my phone call. I forgot all about my little cousin and who I was talking to. And I was trying to make sense of what's happening right now. What's going on? And he says, I looked around and I noticed that everyone that was around me had their head down. They were pretending as if nothing happened. Why? Because this man dresses in a turban or he observes a beard. He looks different. And so he or she is discriminated against because of the color of their skin or because of their clothing. And we hear this time and time again. Time and time again. We see the rise of Islamophobia. Muslims who are targeted because of their faith. Again, just yesterday, you have the spokeswoman for Donald Trump, Katrina Pearson. She comes up, she's in an interview, it's on there on the internet, you can see it. There's an interview, she is being interviewed about this proposed ban, Muslim ban, that a while back Donald Trump had proposed. And so the person interviewing her, the news reporter, is asking her, what is it about this Muslim ban, specifically asking about this ban? And very clearly, in very clear terms, she says, yes, it's a ban. It is a proposal to ban Muslims. The news reporter asks her, is it one that bans all Muslims? Are you trying to ban all Muslims? She says, yes. She asks her, why? She says, what does it matter? They're Muslims. Very clearly. Very clear bigotry that we see. Explicit injustice that we see, discrimination that we see because of someone's name. Or someone, the color of their skin, or their language, or their country of origin, or their faith or religion. We find this all around us. The world today is riddled with injustice, with discrimination, with oppression in various forms. And so, brothers and sisters, as the followers of Imam Hussein, it's up to us that when we commemorate Imam Hussein, we also do so not just emotionally. It's not just an emotional commemoration. Yes, this is very important. This serves as a very strong foundation of our remembrance of Imam Hussein. But that our commemoration of Imam Hussein has to be one that is active. One that translates these emotions into what? Into action. Where we attempt to stand up for those values that Imam Hussein alayhi salam stood up for. That we stand up in the face of injustice. We stand up in the face of discrimination. All forms of discrimination and all forms of injustice. That we become active participants in order to end the injustice that we see. Because sometimes, unfortunately, and many communities, you know, they have this problem where it's not a matter of not being aware. No, we're all aware. We're all aware. You cannot escape seeing images and hearing about news of discrimination that's happening. It's all around us. The news is constantly providing us with this information. We are aware of it happening. So the problem is not lack of awareness or lack of knowledge. The problem is that many of us are indifferent. Indifferent. I hear about a Sikh man being attacked. I'm indifferent. I might pause for a moment, feel bad, but I'm indifferent, really. I hear about a Muslim woman being attacked, I'm indifferent. I hear about someone, a person, a scholar, or a leader calling for discrimination against a specific minority group, I'm indifferent. And this is a problem, brothers and sisters. Because silence and indifference, according to the Imams, in fact, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he has a wonderful tradition where he says, if one sees, if one experiences injustice, wrong, evil, if one experiences this and does not do anything about it, or at least say something about it, then he or she risks being considered a partner in the injustice. If we're silent, you know, sometimes there are some things that we cannot actively change. There are some forms of injustice and oppression that are above, you know, above our pay grade, if you will. We have, they are past, you know, our capacity to influence and to change. But that does not mean that because we are not capable of affecting something actively, that we have to be completely silent, that we have to be completely indifferent. No. The hadith tells us if you're not able to change a wrong with your hand through your actions, at least do so with your words. Say something. Say something. Don't be silent. Don't show indifference. Express this stand against injustice, against oppression. And this is what Imam Hussein alayhi salam teaches us. There were many people in the society at the time who saw the injustice that was occurring. They saw and they experienced firsthand the oppression that was happening, yet they remained silent. For them, what it was more important was what? That they safeguard their properties, they safeguard their neighborhood, they safeguard, and to a certain degree, they had, many of them had the right. Imam Hussein alayhi salam even tells them, he tells many of his companions, listen, these people are after me. And so if you fear for yourself, then I give you excuse. You are relieved. You can go ahead. You don't have to stand and support me. So many people were excused. But there were those who also stood. They stood up. They were not ready to bow down. And Imam Hussein tells us that to live in humility or to die in dignity and honor is worse, is better than to live in humility. To die in honor, to stand up for justice, for oppression, and to be honorable is better than to live a life where you are humiliated. Now, we are not expected to sacrifice our lives. But each and every one of us is expected to do that which is in his or her capacity. When we see injustice, when we see discrimination, and it doesn't have to be large, even within ourselves, even within our communities, among our family members and friends, we have to do something. We cannot remain silent. And thus, brothers and sisters, we have to realize that this concept of justice is something that Imam Hussein teaches us. The concept of standing up for justice and absolute justice, justice in all its forms. Because for some people, justice is what is just us. But justice is not just us. When we see anyone that is the object of discrimination and injustice, we have to stand. Because injustice towards one is injustice towards all. And this is the lesson that we learn from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma صلي على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل من صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى اللهم وسلم على أصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة، وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وقل اعملوا فسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله والمؤمنون. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. Ashura is the season of education and inspiration to act in the service of humanity. According to the well-known hadith by our eighth Imam, Al-Imam Ali al-Ridha alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, he addresses some of his companions. He tells them, Ahyu amrana. Rahimallah man ahya amrana. He tells them, revive our mission. May God's mercy be upon the one who revives our mission, meaning the mission of the Ahlul Bayt and the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. His companions, they ask him, they tell him, oh Imam, how is it that we may proceed in reviving your mission? The Imam replies, he says, أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَ عُلُومَنَا وَيُعَلِّمَهَا النَّاسِ. Two things. Number one is for the individual to educate him or herself to seek knowledge. If there is something, if there is a mission, if there is an objective that we have, if there is a lesson that is to be found, something to be revived, the very first step is that we go and we familiarize ourselves with that mission. We go and we educate ourselves about this mission. And this is why, dear friends, brothers and sisters, Ashura, number one, is a season of education. It is a time where we educate ourselves about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and not just his person, but about his mission, about his objectives. It is a time for us to raise awareness, to be proficient in what Imam Hussein alayhi salam stood for, and what the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, what they stood for. And so first, it is up to us to educate ourselves. And brothers and sisters, we have really no excuse, because we live in a time in which we have access to an abundance of sources and resources to educate ourselves and to learn. All of us have access to the internet. There are many resources that are found on the internet. In fact, today there have been organizations that have been created that have been working for some time now. Even those sources, those books, those articles that at one time you had to travel to distant lands and places to find, many of them are digitally accessible on the internet now. You can go back and you can refer to these sources and you can learn. And one of the very important ways that we can educate ourselves during the season, of course, is to attend the various majalis, the various lectures and the gatherings that are held throughout the evenings and throughout the days and nights of the month of Muharram, and especially during the first 10 days of Muharram, the Ashura season. Now, in every major city, you have one or more of these programs. Alhamdulillah, at this center, we have our nightly programs. We have distinguished speakers and scholars. We have with us our respected brother, Dr. Walji, who's giving lectures every night in English. Lectures in other languages that are there. And if you are not capable, and this is why, brothers and sisters, it's important for us that we try to come and to bring our family members and to bring our friends and to attend these majalis. Because in this attendance, not only is there thawab and rewards in mourning and lamenting and remembering Imam Hussein and the tragedy, but there are also lessons to be learned. We educate ourselves. It's a time of education. But if we are not capable of physically attending, for whatever reason, some of us sometimes, we work late, others have school, whatever it may be, that does not mean that we do not have to, or that we should not educate ourselves. For alhamdulillah, with the presence of the internet, if you are not able to physically attend, you can listen to lectures. You can listen to lectures. You can see lectures, you can read from various sources all across the globe. Alhamdulillah, today, especially in the English language, we have a rise of a generation of scholars, of researchers, of educators who are spending their time, dedicating their time to educating, to teaching, and doing so in accessible language. And they're out there, and their lectures are being recorded, and they're very accessible. Access them. Raise your awareness. Take advantage. If you're in the car, if you're stuck in traffic, listen to a lecture. Educate yourself during your free time. Even if you're not able to attend the majalis yourself. So this is number one. Number one is educating ourselves. Number two, the Imam says, أن يتعلم علومنا, he or she themselves, him or herself, they raise their awareness, they learn. Step number two is what? وَيُعَلِّمَهَا النَّاسِ. To transfer this knowledge and awareness to others. Not just to seek knowledge for one's own sake or for the sake of knowledge, but to transfer that knowledge to others. To teach others, to educate others. And we are able to do this through two means, brothers and sisters, very quickly. Number one is through our words. Now is the time for us to raise, now is an opportunity for us to raise awareness of Imam Hussein. Tell others, reach out to others, teach them about Imam Hussein, the message of Imam Hussein. You'll be surprised at how individuals of various backgrounds, various religious denominations, will be inspired by the message of Imam Hussein. When they hear about the message of Imam Hussein, they will be inspired. And so it's up to us to reach out to others, to tell them about what Imam Hussein stood for. And if you are not capable of doing so yourself, some people they say, you know, Sayyid, I want to, but I honestly don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell people. There are many resources out there. There are resources on the internet. There are websites, there are videos that you can guide people to go and to find out, to educate them about Imam Hussein and the objectives of Imam Hussein. Number one, through words, and number two, brothers and sisters, through action. Because Ashura, like I mentioned, the objective of Imam Hussein is not that we just learn, or that we are just emotional, or we emotionally observe or commemorate Imam Hussein, but that we translate this into action. And there are many ways to do so, brothers and sisters. And one of the most important and effective ways is by participating in community service projects. There are many. Show this beautiful face of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein didn't stand up for himself. He didn't stand up for his family members. Unfortunately, many historians, even within the Muslim community, they have this great misconception that Imam Hussein stood up for personal reasons because he, you know, was not happy that Yazid was the ruler. He himself wanted to be the ruler over the Muslims, so he stood up for personal reasons. This is absolutely wrong. The Imam says, I did not stand, I did not rise in order to make mischief or for personal reasons. I stood up to reform. I stood up for justice. I stood up in order to bring back the genuine, authentic message of the Prophet. I stood up for all of society to be able to live in peace and justice. And so it is important for us also to think about the way that we can serve, we can translate this mission of Imam Hussein in our modern context, in our modern time and place, and translate it into community service. Serve our communities. Serve others around us. Show this beautiful face of Islam and the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And if we're not able to directly, there are many, again, many organizations, many individuals and groups that are participating. Show support for them. Show support for them. This is a time of education and action. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to give us the capacity to learn and to be inspired by the message and the person of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to be amongst those who are truly righteous, those who are genuinely among the followers of Imam Hussein in word and in deed. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the visitation, the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in this life and his shafa'ah in the hereafter. Finally, brothers and sisters, I have a very short announcement. As many of you may know, last year the Ahlul Bayt Islamic Seminary of California was established here, and the fall registration for classes are open and offered for adults, men and women, and the classes are in Quranic studies, in Hadith studies, in theology, in Islamic law and legal theory, in the history of Islamic legislation. Registration is now open for these classes. They begin October 24th to January 25th. They're held Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. So if you have work, if you have school, it's a good time. It's in the evenings, and they're held right here, the Islamic Educational Center of Orange County. So registration is open, and it's open for everyone. For more information and to register, and I highly encourage you to do so, you can visit the website, which is aisoc.org. That's Ahlul Bayt Islamic Seminary of California, aisoc.org. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.